What's good, family? Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop presents Solo Dolo with yours truly, D. Moraney, a.k.a. Hip Hop Old Head, a.k.a. Hip Hop's Uncle Phil. And tonight, behind me, you're listening to Nice Rockwell. Big shout outs to him. You can catch him on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Nice Rockwell, NYCEROCKWELL. So, big ups to y'all for checking this out. Wherever you're listening to this, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, but most definitely you need to be checking in on Audio Boom and checking this out through the Digital Soapbox Network. So big shouts out to everybody over there. If you haven't heard, Digital Soapbox Network's going to be doing a little something-something with CBS Radio, so stay tuned for that. Big ups to Doggy Diamond for signing an exclusive deal to bring his content to CBS Radio, and along with that, everybody associated with the network. So much love on that, and we'll see what comes from that. But big ups to my boys, man. Sam Capone, Kino G, and Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides himself, Big Pooh. We're going to have a new episode of An Honest Conversation about hip-hop coming up for y'all real soon. So definitely make sure that you want to look out for that. So big ups to them. And big ups to Last Week in Hip-Hop, man. A lot went down in hip-hop. So that's what we do here on Solo Dolo. I sit down with you, and we talk about the week in hip-hop. Really, I just talk and hopefully y'all listen. So first up tonight, I want to get into Donald's Chump, a.k.a. Kanye West. Now he's flipped his name to, I think, what is it, Ye or Ye or something like that. And I don't know if you haven't seen it yet, but he went on a rant on SNL talking about he was being bullied and, you know, he was being pressured and, you know, he's over racism and supporting Donald Trump. And earlier in the week, he was rocking the MAGA hat. He continues to rock the MAGA hat with the Colin Kaepernick t-shirts, the Larry Hoover t-shirt. So, you know, I'm assuming he's trying to send a message of love to everybody, people that you might oppose and people who you might support. But in Kanye's situation, I'm not sure who that is, because it's apparent he has love for the president. So now, do we question if he has love for our people? He says he loves all, but how is that love different, if the love is different? Those are just my personal thoughts as I look at the situation, but more into what actually happened. So he said he wanted to abolish the 13th Amendment. Now, the 13th Amendment was the amendment that made slavery illegal except for the form imprisoned. Now, we all know, we can sit back in 2018 and we all know how that played out. You know what I mean? They still won in the end, right? But so Kanye says he wants to abolish that. And the internet goes nuts because are we taking it literal? Does he say he wants to get rid of the 13th Amendment outright? So basically bringing slavery back? Probably not. You know, his wife is actually got a, off the top of my head, I can't remember the oldest sister's name, who was freed after spending some time for some drug charges. So Kim has been able to get some people out and was supposed to arrange, I think it was that Meek Mill sit down. Now Colin Kaepernick's supposed to be going to the White House off Kanye's conversations with Trump or whatnot. So it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Well, not so much he knows what he's talking about, but if you sit back and you look at it, it should be clear on what he's talking about until he opens his mouth and you see he just says something without the right words or the right train of thought, or, you know, I just don't know at this point. And that leads me to another observation, that I do think something is mentally wrong with Kanye. And I think his people around him need to acknowledge that he's not okay, just based off his, you know, behavior. And somebody needs to do something about it, in my opinion. Really, really needs to do something about it, because It's wild. It's wild. And you ask, well, maybe this is all just hype for him dropping his new Yandhi album. And maybe this is a continued rollout, because he's been in rebrand rollout phase when he's telling people he's moving back to Chicago. And, you know, he's taking homeless cats off the street to go to the studio to spit and things of that nature. So you see he's out there, like he hasn't been out there in a while, really showing his ass to go ahead and get a reaction. You know, so is it one of the two? Is he just out there, or is this all part of the master plan? And we continue to ask ourselves this with Kanye West. And at some point, do we stop caring, or do people continue to invest their time and their energy into somebody who is, I hate to say it, but I feel like sometimes he's just full of shit. He's one of these cats, like a, what was my man? He had the, he wrestled Jerry Lawler. They made a movie about him. It's called Man on the Moon. I think Jim Carrey was in it. Andy, I can't remember his name. My bad. But, is he acting out something? Is who this person is not real? This is just pretty much him giving you a character. I mean, that's my thoughts on the Kanye West situation, but we'll see what happens. I think with Yandhi, it was Black Friday. Yandhi is dropping per Kim Kardashian, I think off the Twitter box or something like that. So think about that. Yandhi, Black Friday. But it'll be interesting. Interesting to see what comes out and what that does and what music we get from now until then. And what he continues to say. So I guess we'll be waiting or anticipating the next crazy Kanye moment. Or hopefully what we get is good music and less of the wildness, in my opinion. New Pac. No, not Troy Ave, but New Pac. So after 5 long years, the Tupac estate has settled a lawsuit with Entertainment One, who had purchased pretty much the rest of Pac's catalog. That I think Daz and Quick, I think, are the only 3 people out there. I wouldn't be surprised if QD3 had some Pac music, and then some early stuff from Cats in the Bay. I wouldn't be surprised with that either. Entertainment One had a lot of unreleased vocals, and so Pac's estate was able to get those vocals back, and as well as I think up to it was a 6-figure sum of money. And it's rumored that they have about 3 albums worth of material. So my question is to you, and you guys can go ahead and react through IG, Facebook, Twitter. I'll probably post this after the episode drops. But if you were the executive producer on this project, who would you hand over production duties to? Would it be someone solely, or what would the team look like? And also, would there be any features on the album? And if so, who would feature on the album? So I'll throw that up, and we'll see what you say, and then we'll come back and talk about it maybe on a later episode, or maybe we'll do it on an honest conversation about hip hop. That's dope. I think that's what we'll do. We'll do it on an honest conversation about hip hop and talk to the fellas, see what they have to say about some of your choices on who will be working on the album. Now, as for me, and the reaction on the internet over the past couple of days has been pretty, I would say, even. There's a lot of folks who are anticipating, they want the new music, and there's a lot of people who are like, yo, just let's not do it. And I'm kind of in the let's not do it crowd, because we got a lot of Pac music after his death, and the majority of it, due to the Death Row leaks, has been very subpar. And so I would be skeptical to what is still out there, how it sounds. But content-wise, I know it will be fire. They just have to find the right person to actually go ahead and produce it. My controversial idea is you let Dre and TDE handle it. So like a Pac and a TDE album with like Dre overseeing the production of it. I think that'd be pretty dope, in my opinion. If not, then I would like to see them hand it over to the people who were involved in putting together the One Nation album, you know. So you get Outkast, you know, you get the Blue Cat Click, and I forget who else was rumored to be working with that One Nation, and you give us a One Nation album. I think that'd be dope as hell. So I think right now that's what these youngsters really need. And the youngsters today, for the most part, are still receptive to Pac. They're still fans of Pac. And I think you have a lot of diehard young fans of Pac, where if you look at some of the other older legends in the game, living or not living, that's not so much the case. With Pac, you have generations of diehard fans. There isn't kind of like a breakdown. Like, I would say Big, no disrespect, one of my favorite MCs, but Big doesn't have that many diehard young fans now, where, you know, Pac is still, after, years after his death, is still able to generate and connect with the young crowd. So I think that what one thing that the game would need, if we're going to release his records, is give it to somebody who is going to make sure that they are at a legendary level. And also, you're going to have to make sure that you're going to have find artists who are going to have to connect with the messages in the song. And hopefully, you give us some real Pac stuff. Don't give us some, you know, throwaway I Get Around remix verses or Temptations, which was my joint. But don't give us no Temptation remix cuts and stuff like that that, you know, were never, ever supposed to come out. But you take the best of the best. So you don't do three records. Maybe do one. But you give us one last final dope-ass record. And again, my suggestion, I think, would be TDE handling it with Pac overseeing it. So, you know, you got Kendrick, you got, you know, Schoolboy, you got everybody who's behind the scenes on the production side. And, you know, you got a whole camp over there. And I don't know a lot of them dudes off the top of my head who contribute to the whole entire, you know, musical creation, I guess, at TDE, but there's a lot. There's, you know, a lot of folks who are down there doing it, and I would love to see that. Big shout out to Reason, who just signed to TDE recently. He's got an album out now, or a project out now, so go ahead and make sure you downloading that, and copying if you have to. Support your local artists. Even once they sign, that doesn't mean that now they got millions of fans because they've signed. They're still grinding at that point. They got to still get out there when you first sign. It's crazy how people be so proud that somebody has come from their community and made it, and the minute they sign, it's kind of like, all right, you don't need us. No, I need you now more than ever, because now we got bigger things in line. And shout out to all the artists that come back and take care of their communities, man. Big ups to y'all. Regardless of what kind of music you're making, regardless how I might feel about you as a rapper or your song content or whatever, but if you're coming back and you're doing some good in your neighborhood and you're affecting positive lives, and you know, I'm always going to be good with that. But again, new Pac looks like that's coming. How do y'all feel? Let me know about that. Speaking of feelings, it appears to be a budding beef in hip-hop. Oh, let me run that back. You see what I did there? I said a budding beef in hip-hop. Yeah. So we're talking about Joe Budden's Sci-High the Prince. And Joe called out Sci-High. Or actually, let me run that back. Sci-High called out Joe for a half a mil rap battle. Joe went low and basically said that he didn't believe that Sci-High had the money. So, my question is this. First, we can get into this. How's everybody feeling about Joe Budden's going back into loving hip hop? Now, the only reason that I am a little kind of shocked by this, is I thought that Joe had kind of went past that. And I've heard people say, well, he's doing it for his lady. But I think his lady, just off the strength of being Joe Buttons and whatever else Sin does, I really don't follow her, so no disrespect to her. I know her as being Joe Buttons' wife, and I understand she was on, Love & Hip Hop or something to that extent. So that's all I know. I don't watch Love & Hip Hop. But I think she is established enough off the strength of being who she is to kind of do her own thing so Joe can kind of do other things. I just hope Joe doesn't put himself in another crazy situation like the clips I've seen of other stuff. Hopefully it's a different vibe. Hopefully it's like Mogul Joe or something like that, so he can keep taking his brand and elevating podcast platforms to the next level. But I think it's going to be a very interesting battle. You know, Joe is... in my opinion, one of those MCs that is saying stuff to scar you. You know, he'll hit you with some bars, but he's also trying to really just, you know, make you think about yourself. Where Sci-Hi is very versatile with the wordplay, you know, and he's dope as well. So I'm like I said, I'm all game for it. Diddy, set it up. Kanye, set it up. And get some of these, man, I would love to see a, you know, I don't know, I mean, I don't know who Joe's affiliated with, maybe a bad, you can put together a team of cats repping for Bad Boy that I think could get with, you know, Good Music. But I would like to see that Bad Boy versus Good Music. I think that would be a dope battle. I think that would definitely be dope. But we'll see. Joe says he's not replying to M, so I'm assuming if Sci-Hi can come up with the $500,000, that Joe probably wouldn't want a battle anyway. But, you know, it's interesting, and that's what hip-hop is about, and that's probably what this beef is about, just to promote what's going on, talk a whole lot of shit, MCs talking shit back and forth, and it rarely leads to records nowadays. You know, Twitter is a new way to, I guess, get slick and talk about it. So something old and something new is what Lil Wayne fans got with the release of the Carter 5. Now, I've never been a Wayne fan, so I remember him for shit like Lollipop and stuff like that. So I've never really fucked with Wayne. I'm 42, about to be 42 years old. So Wayne was hot in a time where I wasn't really listening to the shit that Wayne was making. I really wasn't fucking with, you know, BET or MTV at the time on some video shit. And when Wayne was running that, that wasn't really a time where I was really fucking with the mainstream hip hop like that. So I saw the anticipation for this drop being very, very heavy. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna sit down, I'll listen to it. I'll give you a deep, deep dive on Nas' conversation about hip hop, because me and the crew are going to discuss that. But just to kind of sum it up, I get why people are feeling Wayne or into Wayne. When you look at the time when he came up, he was definitely one of the dopest younger dudes around that time. He was a king of that, where, you know, Jay was kind of transitioning, so Catch really wasn't fucking with Jay. T.I. was doing what he was doing and, you know, wasn't consistent due to other shit. And Wayne was able to capitalize over that, you know, period of time, put out a lot of music, and a lot of people liked the music. He killed a whole bunch of guest songs. I mean, he turned songs with verses, just verses, pretty much into the reason to listen to him, you know. So he was out there doing it for a period of time, not to mention his mixtape game. So I could understand why people are like, yo, there's people who tell you, look you in your eye and tell you that Weezy is a GOAT and really believe that shit. Crazy to me, but they will believe that shit. So to hear this, and again, Weezy definitely can rap, but this, to me, Carter 5 definitely doesn't sound like GOAT material. But I mean, he is the GOAT when it comes to the nonsense rapper. And when I mean that, I mean it's the cats who are rapping, but they're not really that articulate with it, or the punchlines are really dumb or corny, or They're simple punchlines, almost like a ha-ha joke, you know, like little knee busters, you know, like, oh, geez, was it real G's moving silence like lasagna or some bullshit. He said that a way back. On this one, he just had some silly ones that aren't even quotable at this point for me, but I think that there's definitely more to come. I think, hey, he got a whole bunch of money and then had to deliver a product which had been sitting for a while. They probably went in and you know, did some new shit. I don't know what records are current or not. And then releases. So I think this is the first kind of release. He's going to sell, or he's going to stream, I think, or 500,000 copies first week. So he's still a major player in the game. So I think, you know, we'll he's talking about suicide, and he talked about attempted suicide in this one. So there were some things that were, from, again, not the big Wayne fan, but from what I know, there were some times where he stepped out, and on that song was personal about what happened. And so that's new for Wayne. So it'll be interesting to see, now that he's free from, you know, Cash Money, and is able to record new material, who he records that material with. You know, we've seen Swizz Beatz. I'm assuming that's something fairly new. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from this. But it's good that he's back, has a presence, and it's, again, something to talk about. Contrary to popular belief, I like it when everybody's winning in hip-hop, because it creates more dialogue, and it does blur the lines, and people have to step up and elevate their games, and then you get to see who is true to emceeing and who's more of an artist and things of that nature. In hip-hop, there's a lot of room for everybody here. You know, hip-hop is that like, say, boxing. And there's many different divisions and sciences to emceeing, to, you know, producing, to the creation of music. That's where the beauty of hip hop is. So I'm in it for everybody who's winning. So let me hit you to some things you might have missed last week. Speaking of winning, Little Brother, man, they reunited at Art of Color this year, and I want to say this was like a 10-year time period that they had been on the same stage and rocked the same show, man. So that's super dope. I would love for them to get back in the studio and drop something one time, you know, for the culture. Now that Now that Ninth Wonder has his own label and the pretty much ability to, I think, make that happen and to do it right, for Little Brother to get that proper label push and support that they never received, I would like to see that, you know, one more gang, maybe, you know, the last time around, man. I want to see them come back and drop something super solid. So big shouts out to them. Speaking of something not solid at all, Machine Gun Kelly, or should we call him now Starter Pistol Kelly, because his EP, his project, whatever it was, sold about 26,000 records the first week, which is crazy because he's on tour. You have, you know, a big, huge beef record, you know, that people are digging. People who've never, ever, ever messed with you before are actually checking you out. Like myself, once I heard the little record, I was like, yo, this is pretty dope. Let me check this kid out. Now, when I went to check you out, I saw music with you strumming guitars, and you were kind of like a pop dude. So at that point, I was like, I'm cool. But the diss record's dope, and if you drop anything similar to that, I'm checking for it. So I don't know if that's what's happened to Machine Gun Kelly. I don't know if that's, you know, what's going on with them, because I know he, you know, he was just touring and dropped it kind of like after the tour, so you'd think there would be a lot of buzz still there, plus, you know, the Eminem stuff. But I don't know if that was maybe M backlash. Maybe M has that ability to shut stuff down. And let me just kind of segue, because something that happened earlier this week, or last week, was Freddie Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs said there's about 3 or 4 cats in the rap game that you don't speak negative about. Because if you do, that's it. Blackballed. So MJK or whatever, Machine Gun Kelly says it, and people kind of look side-eye. Freddie Gibbs, does that put any more weight on blackballing in the rap game? Now, those in the know that is something that's very prevalent and takes place on, you know, many levels of hip-hop hierarchy. From the lower underground level all the way to the top when we finally made it, you know. For whatever reason, people gonna hate. And or sometimes it might be something that you've done out of ignorance or just not knowing how to navigate and having the right team behind you and end up being blackballed. But it's something that's definitely real out there in the field. Now, do I think Eminem has enough power to do that? Going back to my point. Well, if your record's not getting spun on Shady and a lot of people listen to Shade 45 who are not hearing your record and are probably hearing M's diss and, you know, everybody talking madness about you, I'm assuming. I don't know, man. I mean, you definitely look like you've won the beef when it came to maybe having the song that generated more controversy, the Hit 'Em Up factor. I'm not comparing Hit 'Em Up to that. I'm just saying Hit 'Em Up is a hip-hop song or a diss song that everybody holds in high regard just because of, you know, what Pac said and the way he said it, and he was direct with it to Big and disrespectful. Now, Machine Gun Kelly has about a grain of salt when it comes to that same intensity and same presence that Pac had on the mic, but it's pretty much the same tactic, and it worked when Eminem responded the way that he did, to come more lyrical and to prove that he was a better rapper. Where out the gate, it wasn't about you're a better rapper. It's like, you got to kind of answer these allegations, guy, because this is what I'm saying you're doing to me. So I don't know. I definitely think that, again, the beef with Eminem affected his sales, gave him that internet presence that you should want. But I never went back and looked at the video to see how many likes or dislikes he had, because that's a big way to take a look at it. You could have 10 million views, but if you got 4 million dislikes, that's not really a great ratio. It's kind of like, say, paper champions. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if somehow Puff's able to put the battery in his back and kind of get him up there. But I would say maybe this could be career-ending. If you beef with Eminem and you get the notoriety that comes with that, and then your album does what it does. We'll have to see. We'll have to see as weeks roll along what the camp has over there at Bad Boy. Maybe we can get an M and Machine Gun Kelly battle at the, you know, the Bad Boy versus Good Music battle, and will come in and be an honorary Good Music member. Oh no, he can't do that because he dissed Trump, and Kanye is riding with Trump, so I totally forgot about that. That's my bad. So before I get the fuck out of here, you know, we always end this end the solo bolos with get the fuck out of here, and this week's get the fuck out of here is Steve Harvey. Now, if you haven't seen the clip that's floating around the internet, Steve Harvey, during a taping of The Family Feud, his show that, you know, it was hilarious. I would sit back and it's hilarious from time to time. You know, some of the answers that are given by the people to the questions are hilarious. And Steve's reactions are hilarious. Steve is killing that shit. Keep killing The Family Feud, Steve. But stay out of rap beefs. So, as you know, in the story of Adidon, Pusha T said that Drake's pops was a Steve Harvey suit-wearing Negro. He said that. And Steve Harvey took offense to this and chose to air his frustration, not even frustration, his astonishment that this broke boy, those are his words, broke boy, Pusha T, was saying something about him. Now, what's crazy about this is because the people in the audience who watch Family Feud are not the same people who went ahead and copped Pusha T's last record. That didn't happen. They don't follow him on Instagram. They have no idea who a Pusha T is. Some of them probably was talking about Booker T from, you know, WWE. If you're beefing with a wrestler? Huh? But Steve chose to come out and basically embarrass Pusha T in front of, you know, a bunch of people who had no idea who he was. Now, I don't know. I don't know if Steve has ever responded to cats dissing him for his appearance. I remember when Kevin Hart went on the Foxhole Radio back in the day and lit up Kev and Steve. I don't know if Steve had any words for Jamie, but I find it odd that Steve is out there talking reckless about Pusha T to Middle America. It's crazy to me. I mean, you're in a power position, Steve. You're grown folks. Keep that pushing. You know? You used to be wildin' back in the day with your suits. Matter of fact, real story, me and Sam Capone, back when we was younger, we went to like a work function or something like that, like a Christmas party. We went to downtown LA, and we were in the alleys, and we copped us some Steve Harvey suits. Mine was like a green, blackish, like tealish kind of color with reflections and shit. Sam had on the Sereno blue Steve Harvey suit. We were in some Steve Harvey suits. So you definitely influenced the whole generation of cats. And now we look back and we're like, you wildin'. You misled us, Steve. You misled us. But it's all good. Continue to do what you do. Be the brand you are. And take yourself to that next level. But when it comes to hip-hop beefs, man, and speaking to hip-hop artists in the way you do, and well, the way you did that, nah, we good. We good, Steve. We good on that. So, man, that's been it. This has been Solo Dolo with yours truly, D. Moraney, a.k.a. Hip-Hop O-Head, a.k.a. Hip-Hop's Uncle Phil. And again, you can catch us on iTunes, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and always at audioboom.com via the Digital Soapbox Network. And you can also check us out on overtimehustling.com. That's overtimehustling without the G.com. Big ups to Les over there, 21K. And we are out. Well, I'm out, but I'll be back next time. Peace.